Insane Internet Radio Talk Show. This is Injustice Radio, presented by MofoBooks.com. I am your host, author, and fair trial advocate, Lucas Dedham. We are broadcasting live from Concord, North Carolina, where it is just to challenge that which is unfair. America, this is your show. Hello, welcome to the show. I'm Luther Stidham. Got a little bit of things scheduled for you today. Some controversy stuff. Kind of like last week. Got some more recordings for you. I think you're going to enjoy this. We're going to discuss, and you're also going to hear with your own ears, where North Carolina SBI Special Agent, former Special Agent Charles L. Gint, offers to use his forensic software to delete child pornography images from Brandy Lewis's computer. Brandy Lewis, of course, if you have a copy of the book, is the little girl who made the allegations of statutory rape against myself, for which I ultimately ended up spending 4.5 years in prison. I want to thank you for taking the time out to join us. I've got some more recording scheduled for a little bit down the road. I am trying to get an individual on the show. He's out of town right now, who works with, he started a recidivist organization. And I also want to say hey to, John Bowens, Tia Short. Hope you're listening. Hope to hear from you soon. And, there are also several media has been invited to the show as well through email throughout the week. And if the responses are right, then we've got some pretty big media individuals listening. I'm not going to call anybody out by name right now, but I hope you enjoy the show. All right, let's get started. So if you haven't picked up a copy of my book, it's titled Falsely Accused, Forever Branded. It was published April the 25th and is available at every bookstore around the world. We will reference the book, like I did last week, quite a bit. If you missed the live show, you can always pick up the podcast from my website, mofobooks.com, M-O-F-O-books.com. Click on the Media Room tab, and on the left side of your screen, you will find all of the previously recorded shows listed on a podcast. Last week was a real good one. We played a recording from Ola Lewis, and I focus mainly on the petition. That's extremely important to get everyone to sign. So if you didn't catch the show live, make sure you go back and listen to the podcast. It is worth your while. I promise you that. You'll actually hear Tammy Pierce, who is Judge Ola Lewis's secretary, announce that Ola Lewis will not allow anything that I filed to be addressed by the court. So I've had an appeal filed and pending since 2010, and it should have released me and dismissed my charges within a year. Generally, an appeal takes about a year. So she has been blocking this thing since 2010, and this is what, 2005? So that kind of tells you where this thing is going. Now today, I am going to, I went over transcript from where Brandy was originally interviewed in her allegations. And this is not just any transcript. This is the actual transcript that was in my attorney's hands. And the reason I know this is because his notes are all over this thing. A bunch of things that he had found that I had not. It took me a minute to find this. And you're going to be surprised when I read it to you. And if you've listened to the show before, or if you have read the book, you will learn, or you will find out that Donna Simpson, the original Brunswick County Sheriff's Deputy who took this complaint from Brandy Lewis, after the interview that I'm about to play you today on the radio show, after that was recorded, she abruptly quit the Sheriff's Department and walked off the case and the actual DVD audio and video recording of this transcript that I'm about to read some of it to you disappeared. And it's to this day has not turned up. Has not turned up anywhere. The radio show call-in number is 704-707-4670. That's 704-707-4670. Feel free to call in with your question or comments. If not, just sit back, listen, follow along in the book if you'd like. Or just listen to me ramble on. All right, we're going to turn to, let's see, this is, what I've got here in front of me is the transcript of what was supposedly talked about when Brandi Lewis was making her allegations against me. One of the first things that caught my eye was the fact that Mike Ramos, Charlotte, North Carolina, an attorney down there, defense attorney, who was my defense attorney on these allegations, made some notes. And if you read this thing, and then you read these notes, it's kind of mind-boggling why something else wasn't done. It doesn't make any sense at all. So let me read some of this to you here. The first thing that caught my eye was there was a second individual involved in this. His name in the book is Bud, short for Buddy. Buddy is his real nickname, Buddy. So I'm going to refer to him as Buddy or Bud. If you have the book, you know who Bud is. She's describing her sexual encounter, I guess, with Buddy. Now, Buddy was the boyfriend of Brandi Lewis. And here's what she has to say. The deputy asked her, basically, where she and Buddy had this alleged sexual intercourse. The first statement she makes is she says, we were parked on a dirt road off of Cherry Street. Cherry Street is a little side street in Bowling Spring, North Carolina. The deputy asked her a couple more questions, and then she repeats the question. And then the deputy repeats the question a second time. This is a tactic to find out whether you're telling the truth or not. Because remember this, a lie is hard to remember. The truth, you never forget. So she asks again. She says, when was the first time you and Buddy had sex? Brandy's response was simply, the first time was on November the 11th, 2005. In his vehicle while parked on Crabapple in Bowling Spring Lakes. But before that, I mean, this wasn't even 3 minutes before that, she asked that same question. And then her response was simply, we were parked on the dirt road off of Cherry Street. And then she changes it real soon to, we were parked on Crabapple Tree in Bowling Spring Lakes. Now, the question to Brandi was simply, same question is repeated twice, same exact words. And it was, when was the first time you and Buddy had sex? The first time was in the month of December 2005. We were parked on a dirt road off of Cherry Street. The deputy then asked three more questions, and then she comes back to it. When was the first time you and Buddy had sex? Then her response this time was, the first time was in the month of December 2005. And then she says, no, I'm sorry, I read the wrong one. The second time she answers, she says, the first time was on November the 11th, 2005, in his vehicle while parked on Crabapple in Bowling Spring Lakes. And so that's right there. She contradicted herself. There was two first times. The one first time was in November, she says, on Crabapple. The second time was, which was supposed to be also the first time, was in December 2005 off of Crabapple. Now, what does that show? Well, that shows that she can't keep her story straight. All right, that's obviously a lie. I mean, granted, it's got nothing to do with me, but it's a pattern. It's a pattern. Here's what I'm trying to show. So we skip on through this interview a little bit, and if you've read the book and you've read former Chief Richard White's interview with Charles Gant about me, he says he never authorized me to give anyone any ride-alongs. However, in the video, as well as this transcript I'm reading from, Johnny Lewis, in his interview, that's Brandy's father, in the book, his name is Ralph. He then tells them that he did sign the approval form for her to ride along, and blatantly lies and said he told me and the chief that she was 16 years old. Now, the age limit is anyone under a juvenile has to have a parent or guardian. A minor, 16 to 18, just has to be in my custody. All right, so she then asked, the deputy asked, when did you first do a ride-along? She responds, I'm not sure, but the chief of police would have that form that my dad had to sign to approve the ride-along. I think it was like in July. I think the first one was on a Thursday sometime in August. So there we got two different stories there. One time was in July, another time was in August. Now, Brittany claims that she's done four ride-alongs overall. And one of the side notes here that Mike Ramos put in this paper was, why even mention the chief if he denies it? Meaning the chief denied ever giving me permission. So even the attorney at the time says, well, why would you even, you know, why even bring that up if he's denying giving Luke permission? And then and if we back up to where there was a discrepancy in the location and the month of the first time that she and Buddy had sex, he also, his little side notes say two first times, and then he has an arrow. However, those are minor. Here's the most important thing of this interview that I've been trying to hunt for quite some time. Here's what she says. Brandy admits right off the bat, or Brandy states right off the bat, she says, the deputy asked, they're discussing the alleged kiss between Brandy and myself. Here's what the deputy says. Was this a one-time incident? Brandy's response was, and this is according to the transcript furnished by Donna Simpson, the woman, the deputy that left. She left the sheriff's department, just quit. And then this DVD to this transcript I'm reading from disappeared. So we really do not know whether this is actually what was said or not. But I do want to point this out. Here's Brandy's response. He has French kissed me before in front of two of my friends while doing a ride-along. When he dropped us off, Luke and I were standing at the back of the SUV. I had a patrol Ford Expedition. That was my patrol vehicle. And then she reads out my number. No, I messed up. That's way off. We're standing off at the back of the SUV, and he was hugging on me and kissing. And Chrissy and Jamie are also in my books. Their names are changed as well, but they're both over 18, so it doesn't matter anymore. I don't have to hide their name, their real name. So the real name is Chrissy, Christina, and then we have Jamie. Jamie is the one who lives in Tennessee, and these are the two girls that, if you look in the back of the book, you'll see two interviews on two females that Brandy alleged stood and watched us kiss. So here's exactly what Brandy said. All right. He has French kissed me before in front of two of my friends while doing a ride-along. When he dropped us off, Luke and I were standing at the back of the SUV, and he was hugging on me and kissing. And Chrissy said, stop, that he should not be doing that. Jamie said it was natural and that she had made out with older guys. The deputy then says, who is Chrissy and Jamie? And do you have their phone numbers? And then Brandy answers yes, and then she gives the phone numbers. All right, now, in my file, 13 months after I was in prison, I did not know this, what I'm about to read to you, existed. No one thought it was worthwhile to share with me, which is all part of a game or a plan, this evil plan, this orchestrated conviction, to squeeze someone into some type of plea, some type of conviction. So this was planned out long before I ever got to my trial on September the 22nd, 2008. Now, if you remember reading the book, you're going to remember a section in there called Conspiracy Facts, where I had denied writing these emails. And if I've had the honors of having a couple of guests here at the house that have looked over these emails, and they're blown away. One was in tears at how these emails looked. They're clear, very clear copy and paste errors. The informational toolbar is what I like to call it. And simply just a bar that runs across the bottom of the page at the very last of the email. It's, you know, it has things like frequently asked questions, contact us. You know, it's a little link. And it's got several links inside of it. Well, that right there is in some of these emails, actually the majority of these emails, 75%, it's been copy and pasted. There's a bad problem there. It's printed directly over top of other emails. You can't even read, in some cases, what's underneath them. Because it was like it was printed out through the printer with no email on the inside, just like the page, like you do a screenshot. And then they reinserted the paper into the printer and then tried to print an email over top of it to make it look real. It's the trashiest bunch of work I've ever seen in my life. So, you know, get back to this interview. So 13 months after I'm in prison, I finally get the state bar to help out. There wasn't much help, but they did help force my attorney to release my case file. And this is where we discovered that one of these young ladies, one of the two young ladies that they interviewed, the girl who Brandy alleges says, Jamie said it was natural and that she had made out with older guys. If you remember, Chrissy said, stop, don't do that, stop doing that. Jamie speaks up, said it was natural. She had done it with older guys. Well, they interviewed this Jamie girl. I think in my book, her name might be G. Holton or Hilton or something, but you can still read the interview, all right? And when I got a hold of this interview in prison, this was one of many documents that almost caused me to escape, to go thoroughly beat somebody about the head and neck for hiding this stuff from me. So here's what Jamie had to say. The deputy asked her, no, I'm sorry, not the deputy, Charles Gent. He asked her about that kiss. Here's what Jamie had to say. Hilton said that she did not know why Lewis, that's Brandy Lewis, would have said that Hilton and Mullins saw her and Stidham kiss. Hilton said that Lewis probably just thought they had seen it, even though they did not. All right, that's unmistakable. There should be no thought into it, because Brandy blatantly said that, I'll read it again to you. Chrissy said to stop, that he should not be doing that. Jamie said it was natural and that she had made out with other guys. So here we have a girl now, one, she's got her story mixed up about the first time she's had a sexual relationship with Buddy. The first time was either in November or December. She was actually blunt enough to name out a specific date in November, and then two different locations. And in the same interview and looking at these questions, it couldn't have been more than 15 minutes later. She then says that Jamie and Chrissy stood there watching the two of us go through this alleged French kissing. First of all, I'm not that stupid. I would never do that. I would, if I was to ever kiss something like that, I would never let there be any witnesses. I'm not stupid. Nobody's stupid. You don't do that. That just doesn't work. But Brandy's saying that her friends, Jamie and Chrissy, are watching this go on. They're standing there watching to a point to where one of them says, don't do that, and the other one says, leave them alone, basically. It's only natural. The one who says it's only natural is then interviewed. And she says, her own words, this is her interview. I'll read you the top of this document. This is an official file of the North Carolina State Bureau of Investigation. To make public, this is going to be funny, so listen up, cranky speakers. To make public or reveal the contents thereof to any unauthorized person is a violation of the general statutes of North Carolina. Well, my name's Luther Stidham, and I'm telling you, North Carolina State Bureau of Investigation, if you don't like that I'm making public this trash that you put me in prison on, then bring your ass to my house and come and get me. Because when you do, there's enough people listening to where you will have made the second biggest mistake of your life. The first biggest mistake you ever made was taking me on. Because I'm not a quitter. And I will not quit. I will not go away. I will be a thorn in your side until you take this shit off of me. It's just that simple. And it only gets worse from here. This is a game. And this is actually a war. I didn't start this war. You did. I'm going to finish the war. Now, I'm going to read to you Jamie's interview one more time. Jamie is asked about this alleged kiss, French kissing, that she's the one who responded to leave us alone. Her response, one more time, then we're going to roll into a commercial real quick. Her name is Jamie Hilton. Her response is this. Hilton said that she did not know why Lewis would have said that. Hilton and Mullins saw her and Stidham kiss. Hilton said that Lewis probably just thought they had seen it, even though they did not. Busted. You're busted. Your ass is busted. This is the second set of interviews here that has completely contradicted what Brandi Lewis said. And think about it like this, man. You got an SBI agent. You've got a prosecutor, a former SBI agent. You've got a prosecutor, and you've got a so-called defense attorney. And I'll go through their names real quick. Former SBI agent Charles L. Gent, who now lives in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, and is an agent for South Carolina's SBI. They're called SLED. I hope you're listening. And then you have former prosecutor Meredith Everhart, and then you have attorney Michael Ramos. Those are the individuals who knew all of this stuff existed. They knew Brandi, within a short period of about 5 minutes, had changed her story. And they accused me of changing my story. My story's never changed. They knew within a period of 5 minutes, Brandi got her locations wrong. You ask the same question when you're interrogating someone again, and then you ask it another way, and then you ask it again. And if it's the truth, you should never, ever get it wrong. When you get it wrong, you're lying. It's just that simple. You are lying. Now, the first one they interviewed was Jamie. You just heard what she said. The second interview, the Chrissy girl, they never even asked. Because they didn't ask, because from my experience as a former cop, if you now have two people, if you're doing your job ethically, then you're supposed to ask the second person. And then if you get two people that are negating what an accuser said, you drop it. You flat out drop it, and you don't push the issue anymore. In this case, they knew it existed. My attorney knew it existed, and they hid it from me. I knew nothing about it. And the purpose of them not asking Chrissy if this kiss occurred would be because, ethically, of course, I have more ethics in my pinky than the trash underneath my pinky nail than they do in their whole bodies combined, multiplied by 100. And because they didn't ask, because then Chrissy would have said the same thing. Chrissy would have said, no, that never happened. That didn't occur. We didn't say that. Yada, yada. Well, so if you want to pin something on someone, or if you want to pinch them into something, then you avoid the question. I mean, everybody listening here has a ton of common sense. It's obvious what they were trying to do here. And I'm just letting you know that the individuals that I know are listening back in Brunswick County, I know you're shaking in your shoes right now. I've already been informed you're listening. So I'd like to say hello to Ola Mae Lewis, Michael Ramos, Meredith Everhart, as well as the Lewis family. I know you're listening. Congratulations. I'm about to make you very, very, very famous. And I'm going to tell you, like I say it, my posters in Bowling Springs, you had your chance.
Suppose you were accused of a crime you did not commit. Now, how far would you go to prove you're innocent? Hi, my name's Luther Stidham. Want to help me right the wrong? Just pick up a copy of my book, Falsely Accused, Forever Branded, at your favorite bookstore or on Amazon. Or better yet, make a donation of any amount at mofobooks.com. That's mofobooks.com.
All right, welcome back. I'm Luther Stidham, your host. And I'm sorry about that. I think I just realized I was blowing your speakers up. I didn't realize I had the switchboard turned up so loud. All right, so if you have any questions about that, feel free to call me, man. 704-707-4670. I'm waiting for your call. You got a question, comment, concern? Ask away, man. Ask away. If you don't want to be live on the air, you don't want to give your name, because I will ask for it, just tell me you are Anonymous Lucy, male or female. Everybody's Anonymous Lucy. All right, real quick, I'm going to get off of this subject about the interview. I'm going to flip through these pages and make sure there's nothing else in here I wanted to cover before I jump on a small portion of last week, because this petition that I have going on is extremely important. I don't see anything important right now. Most of it is not really that great. I mean, there's enough here, you know, that I could push the issue. She gives out that she tells them that I call her right after there was this alleged sexual intercourse with her. I called her to make sure that she got home. And then the deputy asked her, do you recall the phone number he called you from? And she says, yes. And she gives out this phone number. I'm not going to give it out, but she gives out this phone number. And guess what? It's not mine. It belonged to someone else's. But she has to go as far as to say something stupid like she saved it on her phone. So why didn't we produce it then? Why is there nothing showing a screenshot of her phone? It's not my phone number. All right, let's move on. Last week we covered about my petition, and listen, this is very important. I've got a petition online. You can go to my website, mofobooks.com, and you will see right up under the white bar that loads up, and the white bar, it'll be just to the right side of my little slogan that says, Enlightening the World One Book at a Time. And it blatantly says, you can help sign Luther's petition. It is important. Get your mama, brother, sister, mother, cousin, everyone you know, to sign that petition. This is very important. Go there and read it and sign it. And we're about 63 signatures away. And I have about, when I got my notice of appeal sent back to me from the Brunswick County Clerk's office, they made a horrible mistake. First, they stamped it filed and sent it to me. The second mistake was Ola Mae Lewis then intercepted that appeal. That notice of appeal. And I've been fighting that for quite a while to get her hands off of it and get it sent to the North Carolina Court of Appeals. And at the bottom of that petition that I filled out, there is actually a response in there from an attorney, several attorneys actually, that I put on avvo.com, A-V-V-O.com. And I'm not going to make a story out of this. I'm just going to read to you real quick what the attorney had to say about it. First, we discussed that I asked Ola Lewis to not hear my case for personal reasons, and because I knew there was no way that she would remain impartial. So even though she was recused, she still completely controlled my trial. So I'm discussing with this attorney that I had her recused, and I said, then I found out later on the only thing Mike Ramos done was ask her not to hear my case. This is Daniel Meyer's response from criminal defense attorney Durham, North Carolina. Here's what he writes. You said he asked the judge to recuse herself, and you say that's all he did was ask her not to hear your case. That is all a recusal is. If she didn't hear your case, she isn't involved in the MARs or appeals. Plus, a judge would not have no power to block an appeal. That would go to the Court of Appeals. That And if I've got a family member who's also an attorney but not in criminal, even that individual would agree that, and you can ask your own question, go to avvo.com, does a judge ever have a right to block an appeal? The answer is no. She's been blocking this thing since 2005, and it would have gotten me released from prison by 2011. This mess would be over with, and I wouldn't be having to do what I'm doing now. So a year later, I have my wife, Danette, ex-wife now, by the way, call Judge Lewis's office. She leaves a message, wants to find out what's going on. Judge Lewis then has her secretary call Danette back, and I told Danette, make sure you find a way to record it. Let it go to voicemail or something. But whatever you do, make sure you record that. And then she calls, and first of all, let's back up. You remember, Ola Lewis was recused. So therefore, she has no authority to hear any of my MARs, which is a motion for appropriate relief, my appeal, or anything. She's relinquished her jurisdiction over me forever. Well, when I filed it, she wasn't the judge who heard the case. The judge who heard the case is the one who's supposed to look at those MARs. He didn't. She did. And here's what she had to say.
Saved message.
This is Tammy Pierce with Judge Ola Lewis's office. In regards to the MAR, the MAR was denied. If you have any questions, you can call me back at 910-253-8249. The order denying and barring Mr. Stidman's MARs was signed July 17th, and it says that future claims, petitions, or motions herein after filed.
Real quick, I don't know why there's two dropouts in the sound. That's just how it was delivered to me. But what she says there is motions, writs, or petitions.
By the defendant, barred, and the court shall not address the same. If you'd like a copy.
That's where she's saying that I'm barred, and she will not allow the court to address the same. And that's, she's talking about a North Carolina procedure that basically says this in a nutshell. You get one shot to do it right. Once you file your papers, you cannot add to them. And once the judge denies them, then you cannot file another motion on that same claim. That is what that means. You can bring up another claim, but you cannot bring up that same claim. So Ola Lewis has not only interfered and unjustly and unconstitutionally interfered with my notice of appeal, but she will not allow anything that I filed in Brunswick County to be heard by the court. She deliberately trashed the dang thing, would not let it be heard. I've got one in there, a motion to withdraw. Basically says this: if at any time a judge modifies a plea agreement, he has to, this is written in law, he has to give you the opportunity of withdrawing by asking you, in a nutshell, elementary terms, Mr. Stidham, I've changed this plea. Do you withdraw from your plea agreement? In a nutshell, that's what he has to do. He did not do that. If that does not happen, then the North Carolina Court of Appeals said you must then take the defendant back to court and offer him that option of withdrawing. If you don't, it's null. Meaning, you've violated the plea. The plea is no longer any good. So you don't have a choice. Take him back and do what you're supposed to do. So that's why I filed one of the motions. It's called motion to withdraw. I've got like four or five pending motions in there that are, you got to understand, I had 4.5 years on my hand to do nothing but learn how to draw, teach inmates how to write resumes. I've conducted over 1,000 interviews. I have absolutely no fear of speaking in front of a gazillion people. I've lost that in prison. And study law, social psychology. That's all I did. So I came out, Ola Lewis, this is for you, sweetheart. When you sent me to prison, when I got out, I came out 1,000 times better and smarter than you will ever be, ever in your lifetime, ever. Same goes for you, Mike Ramos, and you, Meredith Everhart. So you didn't beat me. Baby doll, all you did was made me better. I'm better at everything I do. I'm smarter, and I'm tougher, and I'm built for this shit. So you picked the wrong one. I promise you that. You picked the wrong one. And I hope I say something that makes you so mad that you do something stupid, because I'll be there to see it. I promise you that. So this recording here that I'm just playing, I'm going to finish playing it here in just a second. She's blocking this appeal. And the four or five motions that I have out there that Ola Lewis will not address are also has nothing to do with the bar. What she's talking about is barred, where you hear her say that. It's barred and the court will not address the same. That is on the same subject matter. That is has nothing to do with something else. I actually have, based on the emails I told you about a while ago, I have a motion to dismiss. What the heck is it called? It's called motion of something. Motion of actual innocence. That's what it's called. Based on newly discovered evidence. That's what it's called. Because I proved that these emails are 100% falsified. There's nothing about them that's right. The three guests that I had, and I want to tell my three guests, I know you're listening, thank you. Thank you for coming out here, taking the time to read over these things and form your own opinion. Now you know. And I know what you've gone back and said, and that has been said that you went back and told your people he didn't do it. He's completely innocent. I saw the evidence. So thank you for taking the time to come out here. Give me a couple hours and looking at this stuff. You didn't have to do that, and I want to say thank you. I filed a motion based on that stuff. My guest came to my house and seen. And it's like a child made these, well, I guess she was a child, made these emails. Somebody made these emails, and they did such a horrible job at trying to make these emails. I mean, these things have me answering questions from 4 minutes, I think, to up to 4 hours. I mean, I don't know. It may be longer than that. Before the questions were even asked of me. So that would be like me saying right now at 3:40, yeah, sure, if you want to. And then 8 o'clock tonight, you're going, hey, Luke, you want to go out to dinner? I didn't realize I had that kind of God power. I don't know. Maybe I was a deity at one time. I don't know. I missed that part. I wished I'd have known that. Because I'd have dang sure done something else. But I'm going to back this up a little bit because I want you to hear that one more time. And then we're going to move on to what I actually want to share with you today. I'm talking too much. I'm down to about 20 minutes left.
And the barred and the court shall not address the same. Herein, after filed by the defendant, barred and the court shall not address the same. If you'd like a copy of that order, it is in the clerk's office, and we can get someone to send you a copy. 910-253-8249. Thank you. You can get someone to send.
I'm going to play that phone number again for everybody. Flood their phone. That's actually Ola Lewis's direct number to her secretary. So everybody flood that number, call it, and demand that Ola Lewis get off of my notice of appeal. Get off of it. Turn it in. Step down. You've abused your authority. Your time as judge has come to an end, lady. One more time.
You a copy. 910-253-8249. Thank you.
To replay this message, press...
All right, moving along. Let's jump into that interview I was on earlier about the where the deputy, you know, walked off the case. Simpson walked off the case, quit the sheriff's department, and disappeared. And so did some evidence disappear with her. So during this, there was a second interview conducted with Charles Gint. I'm going to have to run through this quickly because I don't want to miss this. If we go over a little bit, I guess we just go over. This is important. So I've extracted some files from this DVD that they have recording Brandy. They have this camera mounted high in the air. It's about, I don't know, it looks like it's 9 feet off the air on the wall. And it's got a really shitty mic on it, so the audio is horrible. And they're sitting about 20 feet away from the camera, so it's hard to hear. So when I play it, I'm going to you're going to hear me adjust the sound as we go along so I can try to make sure you can hear this okay. So the first thing we're going to listen to, I hope I don't get this out of order. The first thing we're going to listen to is where the Charles Gint, the FBI agent, is telling the Lewis family, and that's in this interview room, it consists of Brandy, her mother, and Lou, the boyfriend. Donna Simpson's in there, and so is Charles Gint. The man voice that you hear, I'll probably play it a couple times so I can identify everyone for you. And I'll stop it, and then once I'm sure that you've got an understanding here, I'll replay it without talking so that you can hear it on your own. They're going to talk about whose computer this is. That's important. Whose computer is she using? What did they find on this computer? And what did the FBI offer to do with what he found on that computer? You're going to hear him say, this is not illegal. I'm here to tell you, if you want to see if it's illegal, look up possession of child pornography. You tell me if that's illegal. And then second, go to my website, mofobooks.com. Jump over to, I don't even know what tab has my pictures on there, but one of my tabs has a whole bunch of pictures of kind of like then and now. And you can kind of go along and see when I was a cop, when I went to prison. You can see my prison ID. Yes, I had long hair. I had to blend in. And then the very last picture you're going to see is a disc. On that disc is, that is a what's called an FTK or something report of Brandy's computer, the computer that I'm about to play for you, the conversation that they're having. Look at the bottom of that picture, and then call me or email me, injusticeradio@gmail.com, and tell me what it is you find. This is incredible, all right? Let's see if I get this one right.
You say, if you remember what you saved, that file, the ABC.
That man speaking is Charles Gint, all right? I'm going to back it up.
You say, if you remember what you saved, that file, the ABC file, do you remember, like, the hard drive that it was on? Did you know there was two hard drives on the computer?
Oh, I never remember my documents.
That is Brandy Lewis. Now you heard that. He said, now under my documents. So let's back that up a tiny bit because I cut him off because he's getting ready to ask her about logging into that computer. So the child pornography that they found was in my documents folder. Everybody listening has a computer, or you're not listening. And you know this was a Windows 98 computer. So you know where the My Documents folder resides. It resides on the desktop. Hello.
Now under My Documents, you have to log into that computer when you log in. You log into your name.
Now listen. You got to listen here real good. I'm going to crank this up. Get your ears near the speaker so you can hear what he's about to ask her. I'm going to back it up just a tad bit. Get ready. Here we go.
When you log in, you log into your name, or do you log into something else?
My dad's.
You log into your dad's.
It says Johnny Lewis and makes my password.
So when you enter his,
yeah. All right. What she just said was, or the agent asked her, do you log into your name, or do you have to use someone else's? She says, my dad. I log under Johnny Lewis. So we know the computer's password protected. We know that it's user protected. Not any Tom, Dick, or Harry can walk up and crank the computer on and get on there, right? They have to hit Johnny Lewis's name. Then they have to hit a password. So far, what is that telling us? That tells us that that's Dad's computer and that the daughter gets on it. All right, let's pick up.
Okay. And it was there when I left. And I read it that night.
Did you look it up?
Yep.
It was probably...
That man talking is Lou. Brandy's mother does not live with Brandy. Brandy lives with her father. In the book, his name is Ralph. Ralph Lewis.
Nope. You ever tell him that he's on the computer?
No.
Now that woman speaking there is Donna Simpson, and she's about to ask a question. She's theorizing as to why something has disappeared from Brandy's computer. And she's wondering if Ralph, Johnny Lewis, we know his name now, so his name's Johnny Lewis. She's wondering if Johnny Lewis has actually gave me access to that computer to delete it. And whatever it is they're talking about, I haven't figured out yet. I don't know if it's something between her and Buddy or pornography of Brandy. So let's listen.
I don't know what Dad talked to Luke about, because when I was getting the ambulance, they were staying in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Dad told Luke told Dad how she's been stalking him. Dad allowed him to go on his computer and start probably doing around and stuff.
All right, I'll go over real quick what they're saying there, what they're talking about. Miss Donna Simpson is asking, she's theorizing here, she's not saying that this occurred. She's saying, I wonder if that night Luke told your dad that you had been stalking him, and Luke, your dad took Luke onto the computer, and maybe he deleted it. So I'm not sure what it is. No, that didn't happen. And I don't know if it's something between her and Buddy, or pictures of child pornographic, child porn. I don't know. I don't know what she's referring to deleting. But let me back it up a little bit, and we'll try this one more time. Now that there's, that's not, that's Brandy speaking again. Let me back it up a little bit further when Miss Donna speaks up.
You ever tell him that he's on the computer?
No.
You ever
tell him that he's on the computer?
That's Donna. That's Brandy.
They were saying that Dad told Luke told Dad how she's been stalking him. Dad allowed him to go on his computer and start probably doing around and stuff. My documents, because he could have got to that without your password.
Yeah.
Anybody can. If my computer was on, then they'd get anything they wanted to. What about with your MySpace? They didn't get you on my computer. They had to have my password, and they'd never guess that. I think my mom tried.
All right, that's that conversation. Now we know who the computer belongs to. She says it's hers, and then she says that you have to have, she logs in under her dad's name, Johnny Lewis, and it's password protected. Johnny Lewis does talk about in his interview that he and the brother all access this computer. And these child pornographic images that I'm about to play, something that's going to blow your mind, is stored in the My Documents folder in this, what I've gathered to be, home computer. So here we go. Listen up.
I think it's my dad.
Anything
to note? Did y'all print out that
whole
conversation?
I found where.
All right, that was Brandy. She says, did y'all print out that whole conversation with Buddy? You're then going to hear Charles Gann speak up and say, you know, he's found some remnants of something, and then he's going to go into the pornography. So just pay very close attention.
That's just my dad.
Anything
to note? Did y'all print out that whole conversation with Buddy?
I found where I couldn't find the file. I checked both hard drives. I found where it had been opened recently.
Thank you.
But it's been deleted, along with a lot of other stuff that's been deleted. Everything was deleted, but most of the stuff relating to that has been on there.
Here it comes.
That file was there. That doesn't mean it's over with. We have some other methods we can go back in and delete stuff.
Did you hear that? The agent says we have some other methods we can go back in and delete stuff. Here's what he's talking about deleting.
Darlene said she was going to delete everything off my computer because I didn't need it anymore. When I asked her not to.
How recent was it open?
Yeah, how many exact days? I mean, it was a short term recently. I don't check. That's probably, we're thinking somebody that probably deleted some stuff, you know.
There he said it. He said, there's some stuff on there, nothing illegal. I'm sorry, but child pornography is illegal. It doesn't matter how old you are, if you're 5 years old, if you're 10 years old, if you're 17 years old. If you take pornographic images of yourself or of another person and you store those images on paper or on digital, it is possession of child pornography. No matter what. The law makes no exception. Look it up. Prove me wrong. 704-707-4670 or injusticeradio@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Prove me wrong. Here we go. Listen up again.
Probably leave you some stuff, you know. And some other stuff on there. Nothing illegal, but potentially embarrassing stuff.
That's what he called it. A potentially embarrassing stuff. Not just yours, but other people in the family. They found child pornography and bestiality images on this family computer, but yet nothing was illegal. That's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing what the North Carolina State Bureau of Investigation will allow and condone in order to protect the credibility of their alleged victim. I'm going to back it up a little bit. Listen up.
And there's other stuff on there. Nothing illegal, but potentially embarrassing stuff.
Yeah.
Not just you, but other people in the family. We're going to have to go back through and look. I mean, we got some stuff that can hopefully dig deeper in there and pull some things up. That's just something else we'll deal with down the line. If you got a word in
there, you can. Alright, now this time I'm not going to speak through this one. I'm going to play it all the way through so you can hear it interruption free. I just want to get you familiar with what's being talked about, what's being said, their reactions. And if we got enough time, I'll play one more for you. So here it comes, start to finish.
That's just my dad.
Anything
that
don't
did y'all print out that whole conversation with Bobby?
I found where I couldn't find the file. I checked most hard drives. I found where it had been opened recently.
Thank you.
But it's been deleted, along with a lot of other stuff that's been deleted on there.
Yeah.
Not everything was deleted, but most of the stuff relating to that has been on there. And I can see where that file was there. That doesn't mean it's over with. We have some other methods we can go back in and delete stuff.
Darlene said she was going to delete everything off my computer because I didn't need it anymore. When I asked her not to.
How recent was it open?
Yeah, how many exact days? I mean, it was a short term recently. I don't check. But that's probably, we're thinking somebody that probably deleted some stuff, you know. And there's other stuff on there, nothing illegal, but potentially embarrassing stuff.
Yeah.
Not just you, but other people in the family. I've been looking at, you know, they might get paranoid with them. The point is, we're going to have to go back through and look. I mean, we got some stuff that can hopefully dig deeper in there and pull some things up. That's just something else we'll deal with down the line. If you got a word in your head, you think we can do that? Sure.
All right, we've got about 3 minutes left. I'm going to play one more, and then I'm going to end the show, and we'll go back over this again some more next week. Next week, I'm going to dive in. If I don't get a guest speaker, if he doesn't confirm with me, I'm going to dive into this bracelet that they forced me to wear around my left leg and how probation and parole calls me continuously, or did, and wake me up. They say it reports no movement every 4 hours. So they'll call me between 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning basically ordering me to get up and walk around the house. And I got to get up. I get up between 5:30 and 6 to go to work. And, I've got several of those recorded. But we'll get into those next week, and we'll take care of that. That's not really something that's extremely important to me right now. The most important thing is getting this case overturned, getting this case back in front of a judge. I want to get the Innocence Inquiry Commission involved in this. Anybody that can help, I would be greatly, forever in debt to you, that can get somebody big on this. And not only do I want to be acquitted, I want to bust these people who've done this. Charles Gint, Meredith Everhart, and Mike Ramos. And it's not revenge. It's because of this. I'm a peon. I'm a little bitty nobody. But I'm also somebody who doesn't give up. And I will never stop fighting until I prove myself otherwise. Correct? But do you honestly think I'm the only one they've done this to? Of course not. This ain't a one-time thing. I'm just the wrong one. I'm not going to bow down and take it. I would rather live my life standing than to live my life on my knees. This next one I'm going to play for you real quick. You're going to hear Lou speaking to Brandy, and then you're going to hear a door slam. That door slamming is the door that's closest to the camera, and that is Donna Simpson and Charles Gint leaving the room. And when they think they're alone, you're going to hear how Lou gives Brandy some words of encouragement without, because he realizes he's being recorded, and he'll say that. And he's kind of putting it in her head. I'm taking it. He's putting it in her head of, you get this done, and look what you can do later on down the road. So you be the judge. You be the judge. And then the conversation stops because Brandy starts crying. Conversation stops. You hear the door open and slam again. And then another deputy walks in. Okay, listen up.
You need to do this so you can help put this man away. Both these men, if they don't do it again, and get your life back in order so you can start all over again. I'm sure you have goals and things that you want to do, right?
That's them leaving the room.
Hey, you gotta buck up, get your head up.
Hi.
Well, how's that been hitting?
I didn't sleep last night.
No, and she's nervous today.
Yeah, I don't feel good.
Her stomach's all in knots. Now, don't make me say this, because the recorder's on. You need to go to the restroom first?
Now she's crying. All right, I'm going to stop it right there. Now she's crying, and then she speaks up, or Lou speaks up and then says, do you not want to do this? That kind of goes along with, I'm going to try to extract it. I know I can, but the problem would be this, getting it amplified enough to where you can hear what is said. You can barely hear it now on the home computer with the speakers cranked wide open. And by the time I extract the files and make it an MP3, it makes it even quieter. But earlier in this interview or this interrogation that we're listening to of Brandy Lewis, she blatantly says to her mother, she says, I don't want to do this anymore. If they keep doing this, they're going to mess with my head and I'm going to be like I was before. And then it's kind of coincidental here towards the end of this interview. This is what Lou has to say. Let's back it up a tad bit and listen.
Do you not want to do this? 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 You have to sit up. I can't talk this way. Do you not want to do this?
I'm fine. I just don't feel good.
You know, you're making yourself sick. All your nerves. carry yourself up, baby.
I'm going to stop it right there and back it up just a tad. What you heard was the door open, and now another deputy walks in the room to comfort young Brandy because now she's crying with her head down. So much for covering up her name, huh? I don't care. She's over 18, so I don't have to keep her name private no more. All of a sudden, after the woman comes in and says, "Hey, Brandy," she perks up. Everything's fine. All right, thanks for listening. I am going to sign off here. I've got other things to do this evening. And make sure you join me next week. We're going to touch on last week's show, this week's show again, because now I'm really focusing on getting this petition signed. This is very important. Pick up a copy of the book. It's $25 online. It is worth your time. It's not a whole lot of money. It's less than a dollar a day. I know you can save it. I know you can put it together. I know you can buy it. Here's what the money does. $10 goes and buys me 2 more books. The rest I put in my defense fund. I have a full-time job. So the money raised by the book will go to a defense fund for myself, okay, to get this case overturned. That's why I wrote the book, was to expose my story, expose all the corruption involved, and to get something done. And maybe after I get myself acquitted, then maybe I will have caused enough problems for the North Carolina justice system or the individuals named in my book to where we, as the public, we the people who voted these scumbags in office, can vote these scumbags out of office, even if it means walking in their office and physically removing them from their seat. They were elected. They can be unelected. It's just that simple. I am not the only one they've done this to. I am sure that there are hundreds of people that they've done this to. We already know the SBI has. We already know that. You can go back and look in your records in 2010, and Dwayne Thomas, a North Carolina SBI agent, is one of the worst scumbags on the face of the earth. If you can find out what he done, I've got, you know what? Matter of fact, next week I might read numerous articles on him that I have on the people he falsely put in prison over evidence that he conjured up through, I'm making this up, magic, or through his own little unscientific experiments. I didn't make that up. That's quote word for word. I like to use the word conjure up, though. I've got that, and I've got some of the things what the judge has had to say about what he's done, and we'll go over that. And meanwhile, do your research. Mandy Locke is the journalist from Raleigh News and Observer who did a lot of reporting on the SBI. Give her a call, email her, tell her she needs to hear my case. She needs to review my case. I need all the help I can get. Who can you call? You can call Mandy Locke, Raleigh, News and Observer. You can call Ola Mae Lewis and tell her to step down and step out of the way. You can call Attorney General Roy Cooper, which I have numerous times, until they wrote the prison and told the prison to not allow me to write him anymore. I have that letter, by the way, and I will share it with you one day. Write your congressman, write the governor, write President Obama, let him know what's going on. He does have a copy of my book. I sent him a copy of my book, a free copy, autographed to President Obama. And then guess what I did? I took a sticky note and I handwrote on the cover. This book reveals a federal offense committed by one of your state officials. So now let's see what Obama does with it. Thank you for joining me. I'm Luther Stidham, and we will see you next week.
You've just listened to another insane episode.
Injustice Radio, sponsored by MuffloBooks.com. I am your host, Luther Stidham. Don't forget to join us next week. And remember, America, this is your show.